والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Starting this Sunday, we will need to start getting used to writing 23 instead of 22. Of course, I'm talking about the new Gregorian year. When I was young, the year 2000 seemed to be very far away. And it was something that people were looking forward to. The year 2000 is going to come. The year 2000 is going to come, and this is going to happen, and there will be flying cars, and people will be, you know, living on Mars, and a pound of ground beef is going to cost $10 a pound. It's not there yet, alhamdulillah. So there were some, you know, pretty outlandish predictions about what the world is going to be like and what's going to happen come the year 2000. But 2000 has come and gone, and now we are almost 22 years in, starting the 23rd year soon, inshallah. Now, of course, my brothers and sisters, we know that in the Islamic calendar, we are in the sixth month, and this is the calendar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as we learn in the Quran, Allah azza wa jal, on the day when He created the heavens and the earth, mandated and determined that there are going to be 12 months in a year. So the fact that we have 12 months is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the true counting of that and the true sense of those months is through the Islamic lunar calendar, of which we are in the sixth month, Jumad al-Thani. And that means, of course, there are another 6 months to go until the Islamic New Year 1445, which will begin in the month of Muharram. But that also means that there is less than 3 months until the month of Ramadan. What does that mean? There's less than 3 months left until the month of Ramadan. So this is something for us to keep in mind, to take account of, to plan our vacation, plan our holidays, time off of work, our schedules accordingly, because inshallah the month of Ramadan is going to be upon us very, very soon. So let us make note of that, inshallah. Now, my brothers and sisters, when a date seems far away, we feel like we have a lot of time. What do we feel like? We have a lot of time. It's like you have a deadline, you know, for an application or for an assignment or for a project, and it's 2 months away. And somebody's applying for a scholarship, you're applying for college, but it's probably too late for that, for university. But, you know, you're applying for different things, or you have a deadline for your work, you have an assignment. Seems like you have all the time in the world, right? And a lot of times, what do we end up doing? We end up thinking, oh, I'll do it later. Oh, I have a lot of time. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And the next thing you know, it's tomorrow. Or it's next week, and then we start panicking. So this is a reminder for myself and for all of us not to do that. Now, a smart, wealthy person is careful. A smart, wealthy person is careful about not squandering their wealth. They're careful about not wasting their wealth, even though they may have a lot of wealth. And actually, if you look at, you know, smart, wealthy people, they're very, very careful about their spending. Right? They're very careful about their investments. They're very particular about their spending. They're not like those people who are blowing money left, right, and center, because many of those people who don't know how to manage their money, they actually end up in loss after a little while because they end up blowing everything that they had. So similarly, a person who is wealthy with time should also be careful not to squander away their time, not to waste away their time. Right? If somebody wants to waste their money, it actually takes some effort to waste money, right? You have to go out, you have to spend it, you have to look for something to spend it upon. But squandering away time takes no effort. It takes no effort, right? You can just keep sitting, keep sleeping, keep watching, and your time is slipping away. Your time is going down the drain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and it always strikes me, because when you are short on time in your salah, let's be honest, when you are short in time in your salah, which surah do you recite? Or which surah do most people recite? والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر, right? That is what most people do when they are in a rush. Of course, we shouldn't recite it like that. We should recite it properly. But, you know, I'm illustrating what happens when we are short on time. And that is the surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the most profound lesson about time. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with wal-asr, Allah azza wa jal is taking an oath. The waw there is for oath, for qasm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the oath of time. And the classical interpreters of the Qur'an, the classical commentators of the Qur'an, they have different opinions upon what exactly is the meaning of the opening oath of wala asr. Right? Some have said that asr refers to the period from the declining of the sun till sunset, right? Which is part of the literal definition of the word asr, which is why it's called Salatul Asr, because it is the late afternoon prayer. So the short time, or the time between when the sun starts coming down until the setting of the sun. Others will say that it refers to the actual Asr prayer. And others have said that there is no reason to limit it to a specified or specific period of time or act in time, and rather that Asr should be taken to refer to time in general, ad-dahr. So time in general, and this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of time, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, and he mentions something, and by the way, for human beings, first, the creation of Allah, it is not appropriate for us to take the oath of anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so when we are taking an oath, we take the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it should not be for frivolous matters. Yeah? Sometimes you hear people, children, I actually heard recently that it's become a part of popular culture in some circles, even non-Muslims in Toronto, that they're saying, Wallah. Wallah, billah, billah, right? Like, you just go on and on and on, right? To the point where it's become so common that even non-Muslims are using this term, right? So this is not the way to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not the way to use the oath in Islam. It is for something which is significant and something which is serious, not as part of lyrics of a rap or just, you know, joking around and playing around, because it's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we take it only for matters which are very serious, and even then we should want to try to avoid it, right? And not just use it for frivolous matters. But the point here being that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of something, and of course Allah is not bound to take oath of his own name, he could take the oath of any of his anything that he wants. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of something, it is highlighting the importance of the object of the oath in that particular context. What is it doing? It's highlighting the importance of the object of the oath. So the thing that of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the oath, it's highlighting its importance in that context, in that surah, or in that group of verses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of time in Surah Al-Asr. And of course he goes on and says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that surely humanity is in grave loss. Humanity, human beings, are in loss. You are in grave loss. Meaning, as we move forward, and as we are spending our lives, we are losing. We are losing out. Like something that you buy and it depreciates in value, it does not appreciate. The value goes down. So you are in a constant loss. All of humanity is in a constant loss. So every second that is going by, there is a loss that is occurring. There is a loss that is being felt and that is being recorded. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives us an exception. That who are those who will be protected from this loss? Everyone is in a loss. Everyone's in a loss except the people who have these four qualities. And of course, the first one, amanu, those who have faith, those who believe. So if you want to protect yourself from loss, the inherent loss that humanity is bound to face, the first thing you have to do is believe. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believe in the message. So that is the first prerequisite, the first condition. Second one, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and couple that with good deeds. So you believe, you do good deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and urge each other to the truth, and urge each other towards perseverance, towards patience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the formula for protecting ourselves from the inherent loss that every single human being is bound to face, and that is amanu, to believe, wa amilu salihat, to do good deeds, and on top of that, wa tawasaw bil haqq. Now, to enjoin one another to follow the truth, what does that mean? So in terms of, first and foremost, in terms of the tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the other revealed realities, because that is the ultimate truth. What is that? That is the ultimate truth. When we talk about truth, the ultimate primary truth is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything in all the realities that have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, any other well-established matter, the truth of which cannot be denied. So those who believe and they do good deeds and they are encouraging people towards the truth, they are enjoining one another to follow the truth and are promoting the truth, are standing for the truth, are standing by the truth, those are the people who will also be protected from this inherent loss. And finally, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and enjoin one another to patience. Now, patience in terms of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also said that given that the majority of commentators believe that this surah was revealed in Mecca, patience in terms of the insults, the abuse, the hardships that Muslim minorities will have to endure from hostile and offensive and or unsympathetic non-believers, disbelievers who are out there to cause harm or who have enmity towards Muslims and who have enmity towards Islam. So, doing good, believing, doing good deeds, encouraging patience and encouraging the truth and encouraging patience as well. It is famously reported from Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah that he said that لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه السورة لكفتهم. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to reveal no other surah besides this surah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not revealed any other surah except for Surah Al-Asr, then it would have sufficed for the ummah, meaning it would have been sufficient for the ummah to gather the complete guidance, to get the basics of complete guidance from this very short surah. So my brothers and sisters, my friends, every second that is lost is gone. You know, I'm looking at the clock and the seconds are ticking. So every second that is gone is lost. You think about losing all the potential. You think about losing all the possibilities of using that time for something powerful, for something transformative, for something which is incredible, that could change just not your life, but could actually change your hereafter, where you will be forever. That opportunity is gone with every second and every minute that ticks away. So these breaks, my friends, that we have, like this winter break, the holidays that we get, the time off that we get, these moments when we have free time is indeed a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, famously reported, that ni'matani maghbunun feehima kathirun minan nas, that there are two blessings which many people waste. There are two blessings which many people waste, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. So health and free time. These are great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many people will waste these two blessings, will let these two blessings go unnoticed and unrecognized without showing any gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, and they will waste them away. And that is health and free time. The problem is that we get distracted when we have these blessings. Like many other blessings, when we have the blessings, we get distracted. And we only realize once they are taken away. And then it's too late. Huh? When a person has blessing, they don't realize. They don't think about those blessings because they're too busy using them. They're too busy using them and enjoying them. And then once they're gone, then you look back and say, oh, that was such a great blessing. I wish I had done this and I wish I had done that. But now it's too late because it's gone. And it probably won't come back. In many cases, it's not going to come back. Right? So the key is to recognize and seize the moment and the blessing when it is available, not after it has been taken away. Imam al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, writes that you should not waste your time doing at any moment whatever chances to present itself when it presents itself. What did he say? You should not waste your time doing at any moment whatever chances to present itself when it presents itself. Meaning, you should not be someone who just goes with the flow, who has no system, no idea, no schedule of what to do, no priorities. Whatever comes your way, you do it, and then that's it. No, instead you should take stock of yourself and structure your acts of devotion during each day or night, assigning to each period of time some specific function that is kept to and is not left for something else in that time. So he is recommending that we should have a routine, we should have a schedule, blocks of time that are scheduled away, even for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have things scheduled. In this way, the barakah of your time will become evident. What's going to happen? The barakah, the blessings of your time will become evident. But if you leave yourself to drift, aimlessly wandering as cattle do, not knowing what to occupy yourself with each moment, you will squander most of your time. Your time is your life. Your life is your capital through which you transact, meaning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through which you reach endless bliss in the proximity of Allah. Every breath you take is a priceless jewel that cannot be replaced. And once it passes, it can never be retrieved. So what does he say? Don't spend your time aimlessly wandering as cattle do, right? You drive in the countryside, you see cows outside, what are they doing? Right? Most of the time, they just like walk around, they're just like mooing and just like walking from here to there, eating grass there, you know, going there, going here, walking around the field, you know, it gets sunny, they go under the shade and sit down, then they get up and they go on the other side, you know, they're just like wandering. He says, don't spend your life, you know, in that way, but rather have structure for your life and for your time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said that the feet of the servants of Allah shall not move on the day of judgment until he is asked about five things. So there's actually, you know, two famous hadith we can say that refer to five things. So this one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us that the feet of the servant of Allah are not going to move until he or she, of course, is asked about five things. About his life and what he did with it. Life, what did you do with it? It was a blessing of Allah. About his knowledge and what he did with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you knowledge. What did you do with that knowledge? About his wealth and how he earned it and where he spent it. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you wealth. How did you spend it? What did you spend it on? How did you earn it? About his body and for what did he wear it out? You know, so life, what did you do with your life? Knowledge, what did you do with it? Wealth, how did you earn it? Where did you spend it? And body, what did you use it for? Right? These are the things, my brothers and sisters, that we need to be ready to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So examine your time. Look at how you are spending your time, especially entertainment. Because subhanAllah, once you get caught onto entertaining yourself, forget about the minutes, the hours fly by. Right? Days will fly by. Right? You're binge watching a series on Netflix. How many hours are spent watching that series? You're watching sports. How many hours are spent taking in sports? You're on TikTok or Instagram or WhatsApp or Facebook or whatever, whichever platform. How many hours are spent simply watching reels, looking at posts, commenting in unnecessary debates? You have some YouTubers you subscribe to. You're watching their videos. They're making money. You're wasting your time. Andrew Tate. You're watching. Well, what is he going to post next? What's the next controversy that's going to come up? You know, what can I, you know, what is he going to say now? Right? So you get hooked. YouTubers are making money. They're getting a check every month from YouTube, from Google. And you're wasting your time. You're watching dramas, shows, serials, or you're into video games or talk shows. And you're just sitting there. Aren't you just taking it all in? You're just taking it in. You're absorbing everything while everyone else is making money and making a life out of you wasting your time. If you need a break or there is some learning or some real benefit, then okay, maybe some of it might be okay for a brief amount of time. But if these things are taking up a significant portion of your day and it starts becoming your life, and that's it, that is what your mind is occupied with most of the time, then maybe it's time for some serious reflection and some action. There's a second famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take advantage of five before five. So the other one that mentions five things. Your youth before your old age. Your health before your illness. Your riches before your poverty. Your free time before your work. And your life before your death. Right? If you get used to wasting, you're going to end up wasting your life. If you get used to taking advantage, you will inshallah take good advantage of your life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the best way to use up our free time. Surah Al-Inshirah, at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. So once you have fulfilled your duty, meaning you are free, you are done with your responsibilities, strive in devotion. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. And towards your Lord, turn with eagerness. Or turn to your Lord alone with hope. So when you're done with everything that you needed to do, your assignments, your work, your projects, everything that you needed to do, you're done. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with eagerness and devotion. So my brothers and sisters, as the minutes change to hours, and the hours change to days, and the days change to months, and the months change to years, let it serve as a reminder for us that time is indeed running out. With each passing moment, we are nearing our final moments, after which it will be too late. With each passing moment, we are rushing towards the end. And at that moment, it will be too late. So work on perfecting your faith. Prepare yourself with good deeds. Help others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Promote the truth. Promote patience. Give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfill your duties. Build your family relations. And try to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Because once it's too late, it is indeed too late. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and minds to His love and His remembrance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who spend our free time doing the things that are pleasing to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to forgive us all. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, we'll take a few moments for our sunnah prayers and then we will continue. Jazakumullahu khairan.